Hello there, it's Robin here on Jersey's Rat Radio, and we are excited to present Alice Cooper and Hailstorm at the PNC Bank Arts Center August 15th. Tickets on sale to the general public tomorrow morning at 10 through LiveNation.com. If you listen to the Rat all weekend long, starting tomorrow in the 5 o'clock hour, you can win tickets to that show. And right now, we say hello to Alice Cooper.
Hey, Robin.
How you doing today, Alice?
I am doing great. It's 80 degrees in Phoenix today.
God bless you, because it's like 25 degrees here in Jersey. Aren't we lucky?
I know. I keep looking at the weather station going, I remember living in Detroit. It was that cold there, too.
Yeah, so you know about shoveling snow, right?
Oh, absolutely. Not anymore, though.
Yeah, I know. Hey, listen, before we're off and running, our mutual friend Jack Ponte sends his love.
Oh, great. How's he doing? He's still writing songs, I hope.
No, he's retired from the music business. He's a jack of all trades. But, you know, he speaks of you lovingly. He speaks of Shep Gordon lovingly. He speaks of Vic Pepe lovingly. And he told me a lot about his relationship with you and your crew. I know that he keeps in touch with Tommy Hendrickson.
Yeah.
But
I don't think there's any way that Jack Ponte isn't still writing songs somehow.
Well, he swears that he's retired. I think he's day trading or something. I mean, there's nothing that guy can't do. I know that.
Yeah, but when you're a songwriter, you don't just stop. Great, you know, because there was a certain sound going on right then. And I was working with Desmond Childs, and I was working with him. I even wrote some songs with Richie Sambora and John Bon Jovi back then.
Right,
and
right
some,
on.
Stuff with Skid Row. I wrote some stuff with Rachel and those guys. So it was sort of like, getting together, sitting down, taking out the guitar and seeing what came out of it.
Yeah,
you know, I wrote a lot of good songs with Jack Ponte, yeah.
Yeah. The Hey Stupid era, which is the first time I think I interviewed you ever. I was working on Long Island, and one of the biggest reasons I love interviewing you is because you are a talker. It's like, wind him up and let him go. There's no teeth pulling required. And I love that about you, because I have interviewed a handful of artists who give yes or no answers, and it's pretty painful when you're the interviewer.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I only had one like that, and it was Jerry Lee Lewis.
Really?
I interviewed Jerry Lee Lewis on my radio show, and all I got was, you know, I'm thinking, Jerry Lee Lewis, this is going to be crazy. He's going to be all over the place. You know, and it was like, hey, man, it must have been great being back there with Chuck Berry. And it was like, yeah.
Really? Do you think?
And no.
He was just having a bad day?
Yeah, and I just finally said, well, thank you for almost being on the show.
Yeah. You know, I've seen you at least a half a dozen times in my life, which really isn't nearly enough. I did see you, it was last year or the year before, with Edgar Winter and Deep Purple, and a few years before that at the PNC Bank Arts Center. And I have to say, your shows are as entertaining and mesmerizing as they were 20, 30 years ago. You definitely never disappoint. How do you keep things fresh?
I surround myself with the very best players.
Okay.
You know, and people that get what I'm doing. You know, like Ryan Roxy has been around with me for a while. Tommy Hendrickson, Nita Strauss now, you
right.
know, just got voted best female guitarist. She's my lead guitar player in the band. And my drummer just got voted best drummer in rock, Glenn Sobel. So I surround myself with the best people, and then I allow them, you know, to have fun with the show. If they come up with ideas for the show, I never just say, no, it's got to be my idea. I sit there and I go, yeah, great, let's try that.
Right on.
So everybody gets a chance to be creative in the show. And everybody gets treated equally. I mean, the same guy that's sweeping the floor gets treated the same way as the guitar player does.
Right on.
So nobody's ever looked down on, you know. Yeah, and you know, I mean, I think it's fun to have all these songs. You have 30 albums worth of songs,
and
we're putting a show together, and then, you know, one of them might say, you know, if this song went here, it would be good, and I'll go, let's try that, and it works. And I go, great idea, let's keep that. And that, I think everybody in my show gets to be a star, you know, I mean, they get to be not just a rock player, they're in the production also.
I noticed that with you. You pretty much, you know, put the spotlight on them during the course of the show, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, I think that's important, yeah.
Yeah, because they feel appreciated, and they're not just, you know, a number. It's kind of cool. You've been scarring people for decades. Can you recall the very first moment that inspired you to create your, you know, monstrous theatrical stage show?
Well, you know, it was a matter of necessity for me.
Okay.
I always looked around as an artist and said, what hasn't been done? Okay, well, The Who, you know, were a great stage show band.
Mm-hmm.
The Beatles were the best writers and the best singers. The Stones were the Stones all the way. And I kept looking at it going, these are all my rock heroes. But where's the rock villains?
Ah.
You know, to me, rock needed a villain. And that's why, you know, I created Alice to be the Basil Rathbone or the Vincent Price or the, you know, the Bela Lugosi of rock and roll. And then if you're going to do that, you have to have a show that's wrapped around it. And you have to have the great songs, you know. So Bob Ezrin being my producer, I mean, that really made a lot of sense. If you have hit songs and the show and a great band and a great image, something's going to happen.
You know, it's not always your stage show that keeps people like me hooked. It could be a film you're in. It could be you being a guest on a talk show or on a stage that isn't an Alice Cooper concert. Because I'll tell you something, the best part of watching Jesus Christ Superstar on TV last year was your entrance. The place went absolutely nuts.
Yeah, you know, normally that character gets played as sort of a fat, roly-poly idiot.
Yeah.
You know, Herod, which is sort of like a mouthpiece for the Roman Empire. But I looked at it and I said, what if this character was more like an Alan Rickman, condescending, arrogant bastard? You know, let's make Herod that. And so I had to make it very egocentric, where everything was about him, you know. And it was much more fun to play the Herod character that way.
How did that come about, by the way? How did you get involved with Jesus Christ Superstar?
Well, the funny thing was, one of my best friends in England was Tim Rice, who wrote all the lyrics for it.
Got it.
And Andrew Luke Oldham. So when he asked me 20 years ago, he said, we're going to do a re-recording of the original cast album. Will you play Herod? And I went, yeah. And so I played Herod on that. And they wanted, you know, they wanted it to be more vicious and more sarcastic and more, you know, like that. And I said, okay. And so they liked that. When this thing came up, all of a sudden, you know, they said, who's going to play Herod? And Tim, you know, Tim says, well, Alice, for this, you know. And I guess Andrew, it said, absolutely.
Wow.
And it might have been a little easier for me, only because I'm used to getting up and playing in front of a live audience.
Yeah.
And I just looked at the Herod song as another Alice Cooper rock song.
Right on.
You know.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned Tim Rice. You've made friends with quite an eclectic group of people during the course of your career. Groucho Marx, Liza Minnelli, Salvador Dali, Frank Sinatra, Mae West, and the list is very, very long. Who is the most engaging? Is that hard to pinpoint?
Well, the most, you know, it's kind of interesting that I found that the bigger they were, the nicer they were.
Really?
You know, the Beatles were the nicest guys in the world. The Stones were great guys. Elvis was really cool. Sinatra was cool. And then you get to the Salvador Dali, who is inexplainable. You know, you don't know what he is. He was great, but he was an alien, you know, basically. You couldn't make out what he was about at all. And Groucho Marx was just exactly what you wanted him to be. He was Groucho.
Yeah.
You know, he would, as much as he liked you, couldn't help from insulting you 20 times a day.
Yeah.
Which is just, you know, that was his sense of humor. So, yeah, I always wanted to meet. It's funny because when I finally got to Hollywood and the whole thing happened, I wanted to meet the rock stars, but I knew that I was going to know them.
Right.
But I wanted to meet Fred Astaire. I wanted to meet Jack Benny. I wanted to meet the movie stars that were from that era.
Yeah.
We wanted to meet the Three Stooges, you know, people like that. No, I'm just saying. So, I mean, I was very lucky to get to meet those people, and they kind of accepted me on who Alice Cooper was. They got it. They understood that Alice was a character.
Yeah, and these people went to your shows, which is kind of cool.
Well, yeah, when Dolly saw the show, you know, the show was really very surrealistic to him. He thought it was a reflection of him. When Groucho saw the show, Groucho thought, well, this is vaudeville.
Nah.
I'm sure when the Who and the Yardbirds and people like that saw the show, they went, oh, yeah, I can hear our influence in that band, because we were a very big Yardbirds fan.
I know.
Band, you know, and we were also very influenced by the Who.
Hmm.
You know, so I think everybody saw a little bit of themselves in that show.
Yeah, you know, it's all about perspective as well.
Yeah, it really is. When we first started, the perception of Alice Cooper was that we were the worst things that could ever happen to your kids. You know, and that was the power. Because as soon as we were rejected by the parents, the kids loved us.
Yeah, of course.
And we played the villain very, very well. And because it was outrageous. So the show was outrageous. But it was never satanic. It was never, it was never anti-Christian. It was never, everything about the show was, when you got done seeing it, you walked away going, that was the best party I've been to all year.
Yeah, and how many artists followed your template, right?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, even artists, it took them a while to understand what we were doing. I remember there were times when certain bands didn't want to work with us because they said, well, we don't know what these guys are about. You know, they're creepy and this and that. And then they would see the show, and they would realize, oh, my gosh, these guys are rockers. These guys are Detroit rockers.
Right on.
You know, and it's just that they put this show, they wrapped this show around this sound, and there's nothing to fear about it. Now, the character Alice, I mean, I play the character, and he is different from anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's very unearthly, and that's why I've always liked the Alice Cooper character, because he just doesn't relate to anybody else.
How do you turn it off when you get off stage? How do you separate Alice Cooper,
I've
the husband,
it,
the father?
I've done it for so long. I can turn it on, turn it off.
Right on.
I might be talking to the bass player right before the curtain goes up about, did the Tigers beat the Yankees today? And then that curtain goes up, and the next thing you know, it's not the same person. It's all of a sudden, now it's Alice. And that character doesn't care about baseball.
You know, I remember back in the day, we weren't allowed to talk to you about golf. I remember your publicist saying, never bring it up. Alice doesn't play golf. If you bring it up, the interview's over. Now it's like, now you wear it like a badge of honor.
That's Toby Mamus. Toby Mamus was terrified of anything that was like that. Yeah. You know, now every heavy metal band in the world, there's two guys that play golf in the band. And so we turned golf into a rock and roll sport.
Yeah, I've never been off the driving range, but one of these days I'll get on the green. I just read that you're doing a short stint with the Hollywood Vampires before you hit the road with your band, your other band, you and Joe Perry and Johnny Depp, and you're playing in Scottsdale, home turf there in May, as part of a short 7-date tour. You're working on some new music with those guys, aren't you?
Well, this year I've got 3 albums coming out. I've got a live Vampires album from last year's tour.
Okay.
We have a studio Vampires album, which is all new and original material. Yeah, I think there's only 2 covers on the whole album.
Okay.
And then there's a live Alice album that's out from Paris, Paranormal in Paris. And then the other one is a studio album that Bob Ezrin and I are working on right now. So there's literally 4 albums out, coming out soon, with, you know, that I'm involved in.
When do you sleep?
for my wife and I, my wife's in the show. My wife plays a lot of the characters in the show.
Yeah.
And our 43rd anniversary is coming up, but she was in the original, you know, Nightmare show. And still better than ever now. But, I mean, when we get home, getting home is like our vacation, you know. Because last year we did 193 cities around the world. And so, you know, when people say, well, where do you go on vacation? I go, we go home.
Wow. You know, you mentioned about making all these albums. Other than being in the digital age, do you do anything different in the way you write and record an album than the way you did back in the day?
You know, the great thing is it's easier to record an album now because you've got Pro Tools. Pro Tools really helps a lot because it makes things a lot quicker when it actually comes to doing demos and things like that. But the writing process is always going to be a guy with a guitar, a guy with a piano, a guy with a pad of paper, sitting around working out, does this lyric go with that chords structure? Does that chord structure work with the lyric and this and that? And it's old school. That's only one way to write a song, and that's to sit down with another writer and sit down and write it.
Yeah, flesh it out while you're in the studio, usually. That's the way I always understand.
But now it's easier now just to do demos when you can then play it back pretty much immediately and go listen to it a couple times and go, okay, that doesn't work. Let's change that B section, or let's move that chorus up, or that chorus is weak. Let's work on that.
Wow.
I think that makes it easier.
Yeah. You know, there's so much I want to talk to you about, but I think I have a limited amount of time. Can we pick this up again when you come to town back in August?
Sure, no problem.
That would be great. Alice Cooper hitting the PNC Bank Arts Center with Hailstorm August 15th. Tickets on sale tomorrow morning at 10 to LiveNation.com. Alice, I really do appreciate you giving me your time today, and hopefully we could pick it up again in August.
Absolutely. Well, I'll see you in August. I'll see you at the show.
You got it. Bye now.
Okay, bye-bye.